Spirit of life, we do not know how to pray as we should. Meet us in words written and spoken. Intercede with us in sighs too deep for words, until we shine with the hope that is hidden in our hearts. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our first scripture is from John 9, 1 through 11. As he, meaning Jesus, walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes are opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know."
Okay. Our second scripture today comes from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 8. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very same Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, then who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
When I was in my 20s, mumble years ago, in the space of 6 months, I was pushed out of an educational program that I had believed would lead to my life's work, and my marriage ended in divorce. I almost ended up sleeping in the street. I then managed to mess things up even more, to the point where I was working 60-hour weeks, sleeping on a couch, and basically not getting paid. I told one of my few remaining friends what my life was like, and she told me, "Well, you know, everything happens for a reason." In this case, she was right. Everything that had happened to me happened because I was stupid and I made some incredibly bad decisions. Have you ever noticed? Anytime something goes really wrong in your life, whether someone gets cancer or a family member dies, somebody will tell you, "Well, you know, everything happens for a reason," or "God won't give you more than you can handle." These people mean well. Their intent is to provide you comfort in your suffering. But what they say is not helpful. If you're in a high school physics class, then saying that everything happens for a reason, when you mean that cause and effect is a thing, then sure, you're correct, as far as that goes. But if you say everything happens for a reason, meaning that God is micromanaging every little thing that happens in the entire universe, then I'm sorry, you have been misled. At the time that Jesus walked the earth, it was common wisdom that bad things happened because of sin. When Jesus came across the blind beggar, that's why his disciples asked him who had sinned to cause him to be born blind. That was how they understood the world worked. Jesus rejects that way of thinking. This man was not blind because he'd done something wrong. He was not blind because his parents had done something wrong. He was born blind. It happened. Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus took that bad thing and used it for good, to show God's love. There is a Christian doctrine, particularly associated with us Presbyterians, called predestination. This is the idea that God is sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent. That means that God is eventually going to get what God wants. That's just the way it works. A French lawyer named Jean Calvin articulated the idea in a book called The Institutes of the Christian Religion back in the 1500s. Calvin believed that everything important that happened reflected God's will. Every storm, every child conceived, every couple experiencing infertility was fixed by God's decree. After Calvin's death, his followers took the idea of predestination even further to argue that every single thing that happened in the world reflects God's active will, God's choice. Taken to this extreme, everything happens for a reason is not good news. It is terrible news about God and the world. Do you believe that God wanted that beggar to be born blind in a world where that meant that he could not really function as part of the society? All he could do was beg? Do you believe that God sends floods to punish a whole city for allowing certain people to live there? Do you really believe that God sends cancer to people whom God wants to punish? Is it really divine intervention that my football team wins or loses? Is it really divine intervention if I find a great parking spot? I may joke about the football game, or the parking spot. But I don't believe these things. You see, God created the world and set things running. The weather is a natural phenomenon, including storms and even floods. They are part of how the world works. They are not God getting even with people for some violation of God's laws. Illness is a natural phenomenon. It's not good, it's not evil. It is part of how the world works. People may get ill because they don't take care of themselves, but most of the time, the cause is something we may not understand. Nobody gets ill because God is angry with them or God wants to teach them a lesson. The Bible tells stories of God acting directly in the world, causing plagues in Egypt or a drought in Samaria. God caused Jonah to be swallowed by a great fish. Jesus and the various Hebrew prophets did lots of miracles, which were God acting directly in the world. But in the beginning of the Bible, God gives human beings dominion over the earth. God tells Adam and Eve to take charge as stewards. Those miracles were written down because they were the exception. They weren't an everyday thing. God directly intervening in the world is literally a miracle. Make no mistake, God has the power to intervene. God has the power to do whatever God wants. But God doesn't generally use that power to smite people. God uses that power to heal, to ease suffering, and to bring people together. When we say that everything happens because that's what God planned, or its softer cousin, God won't give you more than you can handle, we are blaming God for everything bad that happens. Slavery was not God's idea. The Holocaust was not God's idea. Those were human inventions. God is not some sick, sadistic, evil person who enjoys seeing his children in pain. The people who say that everything happens for a reason will usually point to a single verse from Scripture to justify what they're saying, and they take it out of context. Yes, Paul wrote that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. But that's not the end of what Paul says. Paul goes on to say, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Paul never says that hardship and distress of all sorts will be kept away from those who love God. His own life testifies to that. He has been imprisoned so often that he doesn't bother to count the times. He's been flogged at least 5 times within an inch of his life. He was stoned once, which was intended to kill him. He's been shipwrecked 3 times. And each time, God has used the bad things that happened for good. That's what Paul means when he says that all things work together. When we tell someone in distress, everything happens for a reason, we are encouraging them to view whatever's happening as God's will, even if what is happening is wrong. We avoid holding anyone responsible for their own actions, and we discourage the victims from looking or asking for help. After all, if you're suffering as God's will, then who's going to help you? Who even has the power to help you? God did not cause bad things to happen to me when I was 25. I was stupid and I made bad decisions. I was responsible for those decisions. When I finally asked for help, God used the situation that I had put myself in. God put me in a place to meet my wife Lisa, and to start on the path that led me coming back to church and becoming a pastor. Not everything in your life comes from God. Some of it is the natural effect of your own decisions, good, bad, or indifferent. Some of it is the effect of other people's decisions, good, bad, or indifferent. Free will has a downside. 9/11 was not God's will for humanity. Mass shootings are not God's will for humanity. Child neglect and abuse are not God's will for humanity. They are evil acts done by human beings who defy God's righteousness and love. So, some of the things that happen are the result of decisions. Some of it is how the world works. Hurricanes happen. Tornadoes happen. Even cancer happens. God does not send them to hurt people. The God who sent Jesus Christ into the world to be born and live and die and be resurrected for us is not the kind of penny-ante tyrant to send sickness or a flood to punish people. That's not God. But those things happen. There is good news here, though. Evil things happen in this world, but the good news is that they are not God's will. They happen, but they are not something that God does. The God who came down to earth for us loves us too much for that. God walks with us through the worst things that happen in our lives. And not one of those things is powerful enough to separate us from God's love through Jesus Christ. God does intervene in the world as a response to prayer. God responds when we ask for help. Even when the worst happens, the worst thing you can imagine or worse, God looks for ways to bring something good out of it. We may not see it at first, but it'll happen. That's how God works, usually through human beings. When we see other people suffering, they're suffering. Is not God's will. We're free to work to make their situation better. In fact, we're commanded to work to make their situation better. Because I tell you, his eye is on the sparrow, and God watches over you and over them too. Thanks be to God. Amen.